believed to cure a number of ailments, anything from cancer to hangovers to fever. And it's a pretty entrenched belief in particular countries, particularly Vietnam, also China and some other Asian countries. So it's a very persistent belief, and it goes back many, many thousands of years. And that's why we're having difficulty really stopping the demand for it, which is driving the poaching on the ground.
How are these illegal sales being made?
It's all very illicit and in the shadows. You usually have a kingpin or a very high-up individual who commissions any number of products. It could be rhino horn, it could be ivory, it could be drugs. You know, usually these criminal syndicates are operating in a number of different areas to make money. There's a whole supply chain of individuals involved, from movers of the product to middlemen to the poacher on the ground. So usually, you know, you have people coming into very impoverished villages, offering a lot of money to these people to go out into a national park or a reserve and shoot a rhino, chop off the horn, bring it back, and then they make sometimes more than a year's salary just in that process. And then as the horn moves along the supply chain, more and more money is exchanging hands.
Your organization, the African Wildlife Foundation, has established an emergency response fund to help stop this killing and trafficking. So what things do you all have in place to stop this?
We have a number of things in place. The emergency response fund allows us to quickly and adeptly sort of maneuver money into those areas where we see we can make the biggest impact the fastest. In terms of stopping the killing, we look at where are there critical populations of rhino on the ground, and we put money and training and expertise into those areas to help protect that particular population of rhino. In terms of stopping the trafficking, stopping the product from getting to market, we have invested in sniffer dogs and dog handlers that are able to be placed at seaports and airports to sniff out wildlife contraband. And then on the stopping the demand side, in Asia, we have joined with a partner, WildAid, to develop very sophisticated, celebrity-driven public service announcements that are aired in Vietnam. We're sort of beating the pavement over in Vietnam, trying to drive attention, inform the public about what's going on in Africa and why their buying habits matter and have a very, very significant impact on rhino populations in Africa.
I also know that you all have a helicopter that is used. How successful is this use of a helicopter?
This is a recent purchase. This is in a private reserve right next to Kruger, which shares a border with Kruger that's unfenced. We have provided some emergency funding to them to enhance their anti-poaching patrols. So Kruger and these private reserves are very vast areas. They only have so many people on the ground, they only have so many resources. So allowing them to sort of get up in the air, really monitor their entire property from the air, and then quickly deploy a team if they see something that doesn't look right on the ground, quickly deploy a team to a very specific area. That's the idea.
Also, you talked about in stopping the demand, you have campaigns there in the countries that people are actually using the rhino horn. So it seems to me that is really a tough challenge there because you are dealing with something that is very deep-rooted. And it seems to me that's very, very challenging in trying to change someone's viewpoint on a particular thing that they think is working for them.
We're talking about systemic change. We're talking about behavior change, and that definitely takes time. Unfortunately, we don't have that time, which is why we focus on protecting rhinos on the ground and why we work to sort of disrupt the trafficking process. But I think the tactic of using very well-known faces in Vietnam, very well-known faces in China, these are celebrities, these are athletes, these are martial artists who are very much looked up to by the citizens of these countries, they can help us get a message across in a way that we couldn't do on our own. And they are really key to this process. And a recent report in Vietnam did indicate that certain thinking around rhino horn is changing. Now, the demand is still there and it's still quite high, but we're starting to see more and more attention in these countries to these issues, more and more awareness of them. And because it's such an international global issue with the international community really honed in and focused on this, it's very difficult to not know what's going on.